Hi, this is Brian with Brian's Spain Domain, and we are back with another episode with Talking Spain. I was away for about a week, and I had a chance to check out some places I hadn't seen before, so I want to share them with you. One of my trips I did was just a day trip that I took up to a part near Segovia, well, in Segovia and Soria and Burgos. There's sort of an enclave there where there are a couple of towns that I'd heard about. And also I had some friends who lived in one of them and they had told me about it. So I went up to see them. And we met in this town in the northeast corner of Segovia called Maderuelo. Maderuelo. And I was pretty excited about visiting this place because I heard some good things about it and a couple of people had recommended it. So we decided to meet there because they weren't from that town. They were from a nearby town, but we were going to meet there in the morning. This was Tuesday of Holy Week. And so we got to Maderuelo, and it's famous because of it's just one of those medieval towns with walls, and it has been designated since 2013, I believe, as one of the most beautiful towns or villages, really, in Spain. So that was another incentive. This is one of those classic medieval towns up on a hill. This one is sort of those up on a ridge, really, a rocky ridge, shaped like a ship. That's the way I like to describe it. It's narrow on both ends and gets fatter in the middle, elongated. This one has a famous gate. You park outside, you're not supposed to drive into the town, so I parked in the tourist parking lot, which is sort of down by the river. On a day like that, there weren't many people there. I must have been the only one down there. And anyway, you sort of had to hike up to the town where I met my friends, and we walked through the main gate and just down the street. It's a two-street town, basically. You go down one street to the end. There's a church halfway there. I think it's called San Nicolas. Let me check that out, make sure I'm right about that. And there's another church there called Santa Maria. And let me get these names right, because I'm telling you, I'm going to get them wrong if I'm not careful. One is San Miguel, excuse me. It's a Romanesque church. And the main church there is at the square is called Santa Maria. They're both very pretty buildings, but they were closed, so we couldn't see them on the inside. In the square where Santa Maria was, there was this pillory in the middle. Pillories are these were pillars, stone pillars. This one was actually made of wood, I believe, which made it interesting. Often there to leave on display local criminals, offenders, thieves, murderers. You might think of the ones from the pilgrim times or the Puritan times where they had them in shackles, or they had their hands and their head sort of locked in these wooden frames. But this one's a little bit different. This is just a column. I think in worst case scenarios, people who had been executed were left there at times, or maybe a head or something. Maybe I'm just being a little bit too graphic and gruesome. And probably exaggerating, but that was there, and it was a pretty town. I have to admit, it was quite quiet. It was a Tuesday. Tuesdays are not always the best days to visit these places if you want to see a little bit of life. On the other hand, if you want to avoid the masses on the weekends, which can be a bit too much on the other end, weekdays are good. However, I have to admit, I was a little bit troubled by what I saw. In other words, I saw this beautiful town, and a town with a very good reputation as a pretty town to visit, but it seemed as if its best days were behind it, even as a tourist attraction. The tourist office was closed, the town hall was closed, all the churches were closed, You basically, all you could do is just walk around the town and come back on the other street and leave. And that was about it. This is an old place. It's hard to know when it started. It was originally known as Castro, I think Madurolum or something like that. Some suggest that might have meant a Roman origins, but it wasn't mentioned, I think, for the first time until the 11th century. It's a town on a ridge, so that altitude made it perfect for castles and making it a good defensive community during those volatile times of Christians and Moors fighting each other, and even the Christians among themselves fighting each other. And like many of these towns in that part of the country, they were fairly important. This was a fairly important place during the 14th, 15th, and 16th century. But eventually, it started to lose importance. And then in the 20th century, something happened which was common it happened quite a bit in certain parts of Spain, is that's when they built these reservoirs. Remember, Spain is a very dry country, and so they started to build reservoirs, especially under the Franco regime. And in this case, they built one for the Riaza River, and this big, big reservoir, which flooded and inundated much of the surrounding land, including a small village. And all the people in that village were actually removed, relocated to a place right near a famous monastery nearby called El Monasterio de la Vid. La Vid is another word for vine, a grapevine. And it's a pretty vineyard. It's a pretty monastery. I saw that. And so the people who live in that town were actually originally from that village, which is now underwater, unless the reservoir is really low, in which case you can actually see the church tower and things like that. That often happens in these places. Also next to the reservoir is this small church that's outside the town. These are called ermitas. Almost every town in Spain has one, or at least in Castilla. And this actually had very famous paintings on the walls, these frescoes. And the worry was that when they built this reservoir, the water might get so high that it might go into the church and ruin these frescoes. So they were removed using the strapo technique, which just removes the outer layer, the top layer of these frescoes. And they were actually taken to the Prado Museum. So you can see the original frescoes in Madrid. When you do this strapo system, you do leave sort of the base of the drawings, and they were restored recently. Although this year it rained so much, apparently part of this ermita was flooded, and so I'm not sure if those paintings are in good shape now or what's happened to them. We couldn't get into that place either. So anyway, an interesting town, pretty town, very pretty. And it's got, a couple of restaurants, which I guess open up certain days of the week. But it's a little frustrating because I think that it has a lot of potential. These friends told me that it was actually more popular, 10, 15 years ago. And even now they seem to get the impression that it's no longer what it used to be. In any event, if you're in the neighborhood, go check it out. It also has a famous medieval festival in August, which I guess is one of the highlights for this town. And in fact, you can see this huge catapult, what do they call it, a trebuchet or something like that. There's this massive catapult, and they were telling me that they launch watermelons into the reservoir. So that's one of the features there. Anyway, so we were there, and then we went over to this other town where these friends lived. This is crossing the border into the province of Soria. This is a little corner here between Segovia, Soria, and Burgos, three different provinces in the region of Castilla y León. And this town must be like the westernmost town in Soria, and it's called Castillejo de Robledo, another very pretty town wedged in between a ravine. Many of these buildings are actually built into the wall of these of this ravine, and they might even use some of the interiors to use as a sort of a natural cave to keep certain food refrigerated. So anyway, that's one of those places. This is an area which has gone through quite a bit of transformation over the years. Agriculture has always been a big part of it. I think many years ago it was wool, but that's been long gone. But recently, winemaking has been making a comeback. There is a cooperative there in the town, which is about 25 years old, and they've been making quite a bit of wine. I visited the winery there with these friends and everything. It looked quite good. It looked very good. Everything was new. You could tell there was a lot of production. Everything was spick and span. It looked like it was, I've been to wineries where things are in dire shape, and this is certainly, I certainly didn't get that impression. So they've got some young wine, Robles, Crianzas, and some high-end wines, but it's a cooperative, so all the prices are very competitive. They make mostly red wine, by far, some rosé, which is also typical in that area, and a bit of white wine. But they also have their own version of Redas, which is made with Verdejo. Anyway, we went around the town. They showed me the old where the old school was, which was cool because they have a little museum there. And they have an old schoolhouse room, which was amazing. I love that because we got to see some of the old notebooks from the residents there. Apparently years ago when they were putting this together, they asked the residents if they had any old notebooks from school. And there were some that went back into the 70s and 60s. Amazing to see how first of all, the handwriting was perfect. Perfect. I mean, as a teacher here, when I see a student with good handwriting, for today, it's nothing compared to what these people did. At least maybe the ones they were showing us were the ones with the best handwriting. But when I say the best handwriting, it was immaculate. And some of the things they were writing about, making comments about, their drawings, their art classes, they were just amazing drawings. It was fun. I had a blast that I could have spent the whole day at that place. So we checked that out, that old school, which is right in the middle in the main square. They've done a lot with that. I think they've turned it also into a healthcare room, the pharmacy too. So they've got a lot going on there. This is a town that at one point, just like Maruelo, had populations close to 1,000, and now they're down to about 100. It's sort of what you find in these towns. But it's pretty. It has a little river going right through the middle. The river apparently starts in a hill right nearby where there is the remains of this castle. The castle is you could tell it was impressive in its day, but there's not much left of it. Anyway, they tell me that these friends tell me that that this little stream starts in that mountain or that hill, but no one really knows exactly where it starts. And it always has the same amount of water, doesn't matter how wet it's been that year, how dry it's been, it always comes out with the same amount of water. So it's an interesting thing. There's also a church there called Our Lady of the Nuestra Señora de la Asunción, Assumption, a pretty Romanesque church. We walked in just as many of the some of the elderly women in the village were cleaning it in preparation for Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. That's a classic thing to do here. Members of the congregation, mainly women, will go a day or two before all the big days happen, Holy Week, and they clean it, and they get it all ready for Holy Week. And so I was able to talk to some of them. This church is pretty cool, very cool, actually. In the inside, in the apse, right above the altar, this beautiful, beautiful frescoes, which they had discovered a few decades ago. This has happened all over the place. I've seen so many places, so many churches where these the walls have been covered with something else, and then they discovered these frescoes that might be 800 years old, 900 years old, and they've managed to recover them. In this case, they were extraordinary, extraordinary. Apparently, this one woman was telling me that before had been lime washed. She said back in, I think, 1918, which would have coincided with the famous Spanish flu pandemic. So I think it might have been done for those reasons, where they tried to sanitize the churches and make them more hygienic by covering the walls with lime. She said it had been painted in dark blue with stars, and it was pretty, but that she actually really liked the original version better because of its historic value. So that was cool to see. And then we had lunch there. We had this huge lunch in this place called the Taberna, the Venta de Corpus. A Venta is an old inn. Corpus, because that was the old name of the town, Robledal de Corpus, which, by the way, was in the book about Cid, El Cid, the famous El Cid Campeador, because apparently his daughters, according to the story, were assaulted here and possibly murdered. And there's a sign there. It doesn't specify, but you sort of get the feeling that's what happened in this town. Anyway, this restaurant, it's famous for its cocido, like a cocido madrileño, which is this huge stew. This one is very famous. My friend has been telling me about it for years and years and years, so I want to go try it. It was incredible. It was delicious, but it was close, probably the biggest cocido I've ever had in my life. It was just out of control. The owner, Javier, very funny man, very, very entertaining. And I'll go back, but I think I need to be more prepared for the meal. I got through most of it. I wasn't quite able to finish it. But I tell you, it was amazing. It showed me around the place, and it was great. And then we walked up to some of what they call those las bodegas. A lot of these, the families will have where they used to make wine for their own consumption. And now a lot of these places have been refurbished and are just places where they might have a chimney or something, a fireplace or a grill, so they can have meals every once in a while, get together, and they have a table. And it's cooler, especially, it's basically the same temperature all year long. But in the summertime, it's especially nice when it gets hot. You could have these meals there, and it's inside, it's nice and cool. That's typical throughout Castile, where you have these caves where people would store their food. Temperature was generally fairly stable. The humidity was stable, and that was basically the best they could do to make sure that food would preserve for a longer period of time. So it was a great visit to see both towns. Also, by the way, these towns also have a tradition. They say that they were the churches, I believe, belonged to the Knights of the Templar Knights. I'm not going to say controversy, but maybe some doubt about that being true or not. But there's certainly a long traditional relationship between these towns, these castles, and even the churches and the Knights of the Templar. So, if you're looking for something different, something very real, very genuine, place to visit, go check out Madaruelo. If you go on the weekend, I think there'll be a better chance of finding more things open, but keep your expectations low in that sense, but certainly nice to see. And even and Castillejo de Robledo, a little more lively town. There are cool places to see there, pretty around the river, and the heritage there, and of course the famous cocido. So I want to thank my friends Pili and Adolfo, who were the ones who showed me around that area. It was a great day, and I really enjoyed sharing it with them and having them share it with me and learn a little bit more about Spain. And we want to share this with you too. And that'll be all for our podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on our Patreon account at the link provided below or on our website. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.